Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
Mike, I'm doing great, except for the fact that I fell down my steps today and I think I broke a rib.
Well,
I need a doctor.
Well, you do need a doctor.
I need an x-ray or something.
Come here, let me take a look at it.
I can't breathe.
Would you hit it on the railing?
No, one of my kids left stuff on the stairs and I slipped and just went down and bam.
That's what it is.
Smack-o.
This was an attempted murder.
It was. But the unfortunate thing is I can't figure out which kid did it. You know, so
I think it was a conspiracy.
It might have been, but man, it took my breath away.
Well, so, you know, just don't get too wound up during the show. Keep your voice going and we'll be fine. But, you know, this show today is going to be an interesting show because it has something to do with me. And part of my story, but what we need to accomplish here within the Diocese of Columbus.
And this is ultimately what this show was created for.
Sure. And this show was to bring the truth of the Catholic faith to the medical community.
Yes. And to bring doctors, nurses, allied, you know, health professionals to an understanding that they can act on their faith in their practice.
Right.
And that was the whole intent. The bishop gave you that mandate and you acted on it and then you dragged me into it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, who dragged who? I don't know.
You drove. Anyways, dare we digress.
Yes.
But, you know,
the point.
Four months ago, I left my practice.
You did.
And that was necessary for me on so many levels, and I don't necessarily want to go into those matters right there.
Right.
And to let everybody know, I do miss my practice, and I do miss my patients, and I do miss the satisfaction and everything that I had with the way I practiced medicine at that time. But it just is a time where I needed this time for reflection and rejuvenation and to go do some further training and to do whatever. But most people know Dr. Parker is no longer practicing in town. So the big question that comes up, and people asked me before I left, who do I see? Who do I go to?
But for you, and because you're my friend, I have to say this, Julie Andrews always said it best, right? That when God shuts a door, he always opens a window, right?
Yes, Mother.
Everybody knows that from The Sound of Music, right?
But Mother.
That's right.
Yes, we do know that. And God has opened doors for me, and he will open doors for everybody when we ask, when we knock. And we
got to knock, we got to seek, and so, we got to find.
And so what we want to talk about today is how can we go out and evangelize physicians.
Mm-hmm. Nurse practitioners, PAs.
Other allied health professionals.
Absolutely.
To take into consideration their Catholic faith in their practice, mm-hmm. and to incorporate what the church teaches into how they practice medicine.
Right? And we have a void. I mean, let's be honest, Mike. I'm definitely not canonizing you yet. However, I will say that there's a big void. You, as my friend, I can say this on the air publicly, you did a yeoman's effort in carrying the banner for pro-life doctors in this town for a long time.
I will humbly say I only did what was asked.
Luke chapter 17, verse 10. That's very good. And that I agree with you. But you've done a good job. Now you can lay down your sword for the time being.
And this show is not about me.
It is.
And so we will take it from here. But we have in studio with us from the Diocesan Marriage and Family Life Office, Dan Timmons, and from the Greater Columbus Right to Life, a frequent visitor to the Catholic Doctor Show here on AM 820, Beth Vanderkoy. Thanks for joining us, guys. You know,
now, why do we have them here?
That's a good question. Why? You brought them in.
Well, I brought them in. So the thing is that Beth is my right-hand woman when it comes to trying to figure this show out and help with getting good topics. And the fact of the matter is she also fields phone calls in her position for women who need a good pro-life OBGYN. And she's had trouble answering that question.
Yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of phone calls saying, you know, who do I go to? Either I'm new to town or I was a patient of Dr. Parker's, and where do I go? And you know, we do our best. We have a list of physicians that have self-identified as pro-life to us. And, you know, and then there becomes the question of, well, what does that mean? Does that mean they're just not actively out supporting Planned Parenthood? Does that mean that they're not doing, you know, artificial impregnation? Does that mean that they're not prescribing contraception? Does that just mean that they're natural family planning friendly? And how does that, you know, how does that work? And so we work through that with them, and, you know, we give them, I can't tell people what doctor to go to, but I can give them some recommendations, and I can let them know, these people are out here. We have some folks that are trying to transition their practices and be supportive of them. And here's how you can do that, and go call them and try to figure it out. But yeah, we hear that question all of the time, or yeah, I hear that question all of the time.
And Dan, I'm assuming that, because you're sitting here as well, you hear that question also.
Exactly, but I thought I was here for free medical advice.
Well, maybe that, after the show.
That'll come off air.
Right, right. After the show. We can keep confidentiality HIPAA, you know. So the diocesan, on a diocesan level, you get people calling up, I assume, that are new to town, or they've discovered the church's teachings all of a sudden, and what do you do?
A lot of what we deal with, 500 engaged couples come through our marriage prep program every year, and we talk about the importance of natural family planning, and we point them to a natural family planning class. About half of those couples end up taking a class, which is wonderful. But then if they need some medical care along those lines, again, that's when those questions come up about where to go.
Yeah, yeah. So we're looking for people to step up, right?
Well, what we're looking for, what we're looking to do is we're looking to encourage,
right,
people who have an interest in having a doctor who practiced the way I did. How do we go about evangelizing these doctors in charity?
Right.
Not putting so much pressure on these doctors, but encouraging them through our witness and through our ability to educate them. We know that medicine is an exchange of ideas between doctors and patients. How do we create that relationship so that we can bring the doctors closer to the truth of the Catholic Church?
So how did it happen for you?
Well, you know, I'll go through this very quickly. We've had this on the show before, and many people have heard my witness testimony before. But, you know, when I did not realize this, but I started seeing a lot more patients in my practice who use natural family planning. And they would come in and they would say, you know, well, no, we don't need contraception. We're using natural family planning, and so on and so forth. And I didn't really know much about it, but they would leave materials with me, and I would graciously accept it, and I'd put it in my coat pocket. And as soon as I got back to my desk, I would throw it on my desk. And I had a pile that maybe stood about, you know, 8 to 10 inches high of books, you know, many of them from One More Soul, many of them from that were encyclicals on Humani Vitae or Humani Vitae Explained, or some of Janet Smith's tape on contraception, Why Not? Many, many materials that were there, and they just kind of sat there on my desk, and I really never really bothered them. But, you know, there was always something very unique about these couples that use natural family planning. And it was the respect that we would see between the husbands and the wives, the respect of the children for the parents, the fact that they were open to life, and that it wasn't, you know, that life was not considered to be a burden or any other type of anything involved there. And then I could compare that to the other women that I was seeing in my practice that were using contraception, and the difference between the relationships that they had. You know, many times people who would come in that were using contraception, they were coming in by themselves. Many times they were depressed. They had problems that needed to be addressed, whether it was from sexually transmitted infections to other types of abuse situations, you know, things like that. And when you compare those two, you think, well, why wouldn't I want to adopt this life? But what it finally came down to is I was working with a couple who had infertility, and this couple gave me an article about the Pope Paul VI Institute. And I thought, well, you know, I probably ought to just go learn about natural family planning so I can help my patients, at least learn something about it so that I can understand it and help them. Because most people, and Dan, you and your wife can probably understand this, when you go in to see a family, a doctor, family practice, OBGYN, whatever, and you show them your natural family planning charts, they say, well, I don't know much about this, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. That's typical.
You
know?
And I always say, well, you must have failed physiology in medical school because that's basically all it is. And so I went out to audit, and this was my first experience of the Holy Spirit, is that, you know, I listened to Sister Renee Mercus give a talk on Humanae Vitae and the beauty of the relationship between the human persons and what it was really meant to be. And it really just had such an impact on me that I knew at that time I needed to turn my life over. But if it wasn't for just those subtle influences and prayers that people had, I was a target of a Regnum Christi group, it never would have happened. But it wasn't that people came in and started beating me over the head and saying, you need to do this. You shouldn't be doing this. Why are you doing this? You know, it was just, here's the information. You do with it what you need. We're going to continue to pray for you. We're going to continue to encourage you to do this. We're going to show you that you have the support of the community to do this. And eventually, you know, it's a big fear factor for doctors.
Yeah.
You know, contraception has such a stronghold in medicine. And for an OBGYN, it can be 50%, 70%, 80% of your practice from a monetary standpoint. And when you make that decision to go to a non-contraceptive practice and use natural family planning for the basis of what you do, you can take a significant hit in your practice. But what I found is after 6 months, I was right back where I was. But the difference was I was seeing a lot different stuff in my office, a lot different diseases. It was more infertility, more obstetrics, more surgery, more endometriosis, whatever it was. That void was just filled.
So it bounces back.
It bounces back. And almost everybody that I've discussed this issue with or who has gone from being in a contraceptive practice to a non-contraceptive practice, your practice comes right back up.
Yeah.
And that void will be filled because, you know, I saw patients from five different states. You know,
yeah.
They find out who you are and they come to see you.
Right.
You know, and so it was just that subtle conversion. And even then, when I first found out that this is what I needed to do, it was a very difficult thing. It's something you can't expect to just, sometimes some people have the courage to just turn that switch on and off and just go from a non-contraceptive or into a non-contraceptive practice. Sometimes that fear takes over and you do it in bits and pieces. And sometimes doing it in that bits and pieces finally gets you to the point where you finally say, you know what, listen, I just got to get done with it and be done with it.
Well, aren't there some ethical issues that some doctors can face, you know, with existing patients and you can't just kind of abandon their care? Isn't that some of the bits and pieces involved too? I mean, there are professional ethics issues and legal issues involved.
Well, yes and no. Okay, you're not necessarily abandoning your care, but what you're saying to them is, I can no longer provide you with these services, and there are other doctors who will be happy to provide you with these services, and here's why I can no longer provide you with these services. And one of the things that I found was that I couldn't just come out and give the church's definition of why I wasn't going to prescribe contraception. I had to know from a medical standpoint why this was not good for my patients, and I was able to give that explanation along with my own personal belief and faith journey. And many people were very respectful of that. They understood that. I sent a letter out. I think it's still up on my old website. That's probably gone by now. But, you know, explaining everything. And many people were very respectful of it. In fact, many people who I thought would leave my practice stayed with the practice and have amazing stories of conversions. And so I think that, you know, that is not – you don't necessarily face an ethical issue. But as much as you face an issue, patients are going to be angry and upset with you, and you just got to deal with that. It takes up a lot more time. You're listening to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We have in studio with us Mr. Dan Timmons from the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Diocese of Columbus and Beth Vanderkoy from the Greater Columbus Right to Life. And we're talking about evangelizing Catholic physicians and how do we get them to come over. So, Dan, you know, this is, you know, a lot of people, they, when it comes to the contraceptive issue, especially for physicians, they say, I leave my faith at the door. When I leave my house and I come to my practice, my patients want contraception, so I'm going to provide it for them. I don't really see that this is wrong for me to provide this for them. But is there a church teaching or is there somewhere in the church's teaching where doctors or nurses or whoever are called to a greater calling?
Right. There is. I mean, everyone is called to embrace the fullness of the Catholic faith. And that's not only doctors, teachers, lawyers, judges, everyone. But actually, Pope Paul VI directly addressed this issue in Humanae Vitae. He speaks specifically to doctors and nurses when he says this: Likewise, we hold in the highest esteem these doctors and members of the nursing profession who, in the exercise of their calling, endeavor to fulfill the demands of their Christian vocation before any merely human interest. He calls us to support those lines of action which are in accord with faith and right reason, and strive to win agreement and support for those policies among professional colleagues. Moreover, he says, they should regard it as an essential part of their skill to make themselves fully proficient in this difficult field of medical knowledge. And there he's referring to natural family planning knowledge. And this is the reason he gives, so that when married couples ask for their advice, they can be in a position to give them right counsel and point them in the proper direction. Married couples have a right to expect this much from them.
The question I would ask, Dan, is there something the diocese is doing, or is there something the diocese could do to educate Catholic physicians about natural family planning?
Sure. I think that's in conjunction with the Catholic Medical Association. There's other organizations out there like the St. Gianna Physicians Guild, which are doing amazing work to really call physicians onto this higher calling of learning about natural family planning.
Well, now, I mean, when they call you and they say, well, I need to learn about NFP, what kind of resources do you have at your fingertips to be able to do that?
Well, we provide natural family planning classes at the diocese, and we can also refer them to Creighton practitioners in the diocese. And so we send them there. But like we said, there is this void. Right. Since Dr. Parker left, he's sort of like the Pope Benedict of the local.
A little monastery off the hospital.
So he resigned, but he didn't die. So we're left with this void.
Well, so
although if I go in the wrong places, I might be killed.
Yeah. Well. So the thing is that we have to figure out maybe a way, and we've talked a little bit about how we might do that. Maybe we need to, put some stuff in bulletins, or perhaps we need to, as laity, we should go about, getting the materials from One More Soul and presenting those to our doctors.
Well, I'd like to ask this question beforehand, and Beth, you probably hear this more from the position of counseling and those types of things. You know, many times we hear from the pro-abortion or the contraception side that we provide comprehensive women's health care. Don't you feel that if we're going to use that word comprehensive women's health care, that they should also provide services for natural family planning, or at least have an understanding of natural family planning so they can provide for all women?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because and not in any way that I mean this as a defense of them, because what they do is indefensible. But there is an increase, I think, within the secular community for an understanding of natural family planning. Because if you go to the Planned Parenthood website, they actually are now listing natural family planning.
Really?
And I think some of it is, I mean, if you think about the stronghold that maybe the organics movement has, there are a lot of people who are just kind of into this. And it makes sense, right? I mean, if you pay more for your milk because it's produced in a certain way, and that's a whole other discussion for a whole other day. But why would you then put those same hormones into your body? And so I think even within the secular and also within the non-Catholic community, I hear a lot from my volunteers who are not Catholic that they are interested in this, and they end up seeing Catholic physicians, Catholic OBGYNs, because they're the only ones that have access to some training.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And Dan, I want to ask you this question, and that is, you know, to just teach natural family planning as a method of avoiding pregnancy, you're still using it as a contraceptive mentality. But there's more to it from a spiritual aspect and from a relationship aspect that goes beyond that. And many people can see right through that as soon as they start learning about what natural family planning is about.
Right. Ultimately, it's about respect for the woman. And Pope Paul VI, went over that exactly, that contraception leads to degradation of women. And because women have a natural cycle and men, don't.
So,
it calls the man in the relationship to be in tune with his wife. And I think this is exactly what you talked about earlier in the show, how you would see the couples using natural family planning, how the husband would respect his wife, because this what they did, you know, in the privacy of their room overflows into their whole life together. That respect that the man has for the woman.
Right. So, where did I want to go with this? In that respect, you know, many doctors may say, well, there's nothing different between the contraception that I'm providing here and what you're doing for natural family planning. And that's not true.
No, not at all. No. When natural family planning is done, you know, with a just cause, it's not in any way contraceptive because you're not doing something to stop the natural end of the marital act. You're actually listening to the woman's body. And so in that sense, it's not contraceptive. It's not contraceptive to do nothing.
Right.
It is contraceptive to enter into the marital act and then stop it.
Right. To take some type of action that thwarts the natural occurrence of fertilization or okay, so to get to Dr. Turk's question, and Beth, I'll let you say what you're going to say too. Do you walk in with a sledgehammer or do you walk in like Mother Teresa and just kind of, you know, evangelize doctors?
She did go to the UN and like whack people's heads.
She went to the National Prayer Breakfast and whacked
people's heads. And she did. So,
too.
I mean, you know.
But subtly.
You know.
I feel like I'm playing softball here. I do see a provider who does not provide contraception, and she made that transition in her practice a few years ago. And she told me that the very best thing that ever she says that, you know, the realization that she wanted to do this actually came to her at the Catholic Women's Conference, and she prayed about it. And it was afterwards she learned that it was her patients that were saying rosaries for her that brought that spiritual awakening to her.
Like Father Benedict Rochelle always says, it's the little old ladies, right? It's, or Father Donald Calloway says, it's the little Filipino women who are praying for people, right?
Right. And I think that's the key, is that it's the Lord, it's God who touches everyone's heart. And so it's turning to Him, allowing Him to touch the doctor's heart.
Right. Well, and as the non-doctor woman here, you know, I would throw this out to the women in the audience and the men in the audience too. But you know, you can't just expect that doctors become non-contracepting doctors. You need to become non-contracepting patients.
Right.
And maybe this is a better question for you, Dr. Turek. This isn't just an OBGYN question issue.
No. I mean, ultimately, what started me down this road of sitting across the table from Mike Parker is I was in my first job out of residency, and I had a very faithful Catholic patient who had six or seven kids, and she came into me, and she says, "I know you're Catholic." And I said, "Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, there's no secret about it." And she said, "You need to read this." And she handed me this pamphlet from One More Soul. And I said, "Oh, sure, thank you, I appreciate it." I put it in my coat pocket, and I thought, "Well, okay, well, I'll read that someday." And the more I did it, the more I turned to that thing and looked at it, the more I couldn't put it down. Because there were doctors who were in all various specialties who were like, you know, I want God at the center of my practice. And whether they were pulmonologists, they weren't going to prescribe, gastroenterologists, surgeons, whatever, family doctors, internists, pediatricians, they were all over the map. And they all sat there and uniformly said, I was convicted when I read Humana Vitae. I was convicted when I read Costa Canubi. I was convicted when I read Janet Smith's book. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop the flow of the Holy Spirit hitting me over the head or caressing me or whatever to get my heart to change. And so I went to my Catholic doctor partner, and he was a fourth degree member of the Knights of Columbus, and I said, "You know what, I don't think I can do this anymore." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Read this, it's very clear." And so from that point I was setting myself up for change.
But I think the whole key to what Dr. Turek said and what I've said, and I think what everybody else says, you have to find that they have to themselves find an openness to the Holy Spirit. So to start off with, I think any physician that you're going to meet, you have to pray for them to be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit and to be able to accept what you're reading, to not be in a state of denial when they read it, to be in a state of learning and understanding, and then to incorporate that into their system. So we've gone through this whole system. I'm gone. You need to find somebody else.
We need to have a lot of people.
And we talked about, we don't do this with a hammer. We do it with a whisper.
Yeah.
You know, the voice of God is in the whisper in the wind. And it has to come through prayer and charity. But you also need resources that people can use to help in giving that to their physicians or giving that to their doctors. Dan, what type of resources can they get from the Marriage and Family Life Office?
Oh, a great website is onemoresoul.com. And I think the book you're referring to is called Physicians Healed.
Correct. That was a great book.
So that's a book of the stories of physicians that have become NFP-only physicians because of that book.
Yeah, yeah. No, amazing.
That is an amazing book, and it was very influential in my conversion too, but also Janet Smith's tape on contraception, Why Not? And
right.
I know that One More Soul has some that's no longer with One More Soul, but One More Soul has some other things out there. There's also a book called A Doctor's Case Against the Pill, which is actually written by a feminist female OBGYN that was also very good. Also, The Conversion Story of Bernard Nathanson.
If you can listen to that on Lighthouse Catholic Media, that is amazing.
Right.
It really
Beth,
is.
How about you? Any resources that you could recommend?
Well, you know, we do maintain lists. One of our policies at Greater Columbus Right to Life is we don't refer for contraception. So if we see a woman coming out of Planned Parenthood, we don't tell her, here's where you can go. So we kind of do that. We have that available, although I'm not really a clearinghouse for that kind of information. But, you know, it's available. It's out there.
Sure. Well, we want to thank Dan Timmons from the Marriage and Family Life of the Diocese of Columbus for coming on, and Beth Vanderkoy from the Greater Columbus Right to Life. And we want to encourage all of you to pray and evangelize, to find a physician who is going to meet the needs of the Catholic community here in Columbus and surrounding areas. You've been listening to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.